Good afternoon, everyone. For indulging us again. So I think where we left off at the last meeting, which I don't remember the date offhand.
August 19th.
Thank you. Is we presented our proposal, and I believe where we left off is you all were going to offer us your counter proposal. So I wanted to turn the floor over to you and present as you desire.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I just want to start off, you know, I know you guys have been, like, ridiculously super busy. I'm glad to see, obviously, the health of the city. We're heading in the right direction, everything like that. I appreciate what all you guys do in the background as far as making sure everything runs smoothly. So thank you. With that speed hump over with, I hope that we can move a little bit faster now with the counter proposal and get the ball rolling a little bit faster, obviously. You know, there's been a couple of delays in between each meeting, so hopefully we can expedite as we move forward. The last session, obviously, a lot was thrown on the table from the city's proposal. There was quite a bit of cleanup language, and there was quite a bit of other items that were proposed. So what I'd like to do is I do have a list of each article that we spoke about and a counter and a rebuttal to each one of them. What I do want to do is kind of stay focused on also the meat and potatoes of the contract, the wages, hours, and working conditions, and get through that, and if we need to caucus, talk, and then come back, and then attack the cleanup language. That's the approach that I'd like to take as far as today, if that works for you guys. Okay? No, I got them in front of me. So I do have a couple printouts. Are you guys able to see that okay?
I can see it.
I wasn't sure if this would work or not. So.
I know. And I got in contact.
Are those connected to the other one?
Yeah. There's a lot of gray space.
There we go.
That's better?
Yes, thank you.
Boom. Let's go big. Is that the right one? So as I said, we're going to start just kind of meat and potatoes of everything. The biggest elephant in the room would obviously be attacking the wages. We have the city's proposal for the base pay salary increase. The city's proposal is the 4-3-3. We're requesting to cost out and look at the 4-4-4, and also instituting the reopener upon request to renegotiate that 4% wage increase in fiscal year 28 upon the certified taxable value for the tax year of 2027, which is the fiscal year 28. Obviously, the 6.4, we accept the removal of the premium payment. I understand that's from...
Sorry, guys, I have a clarifying question.
Yes.
So, you're proposing a 4-4-4... But in the final year of the contract, a reopener?
Yes, based on that taxable value of the property appraiser.
Okay, just my own clarification. What are you looking for? And so what does that mean from that taxable value? Are you looking for?
Well, honestly, as far as the way that we're looking at this right now, my membership would probably have my head on a chopping block if later on down the road, fiscal year 28, PD reopened their contract and explored increasing that pay raise. And if they ended up with a 6% increase, whatever it may be, my head would be on a chopping block. So it's just a request to keep parity.
Same as
what is in FOP's contract? Yes, ma'am. So the opener is similar to what we put into FOP.
I didn't know
it was okay. Yes, yeah. 6.4, strike through the premium payment. Sorry, did you want me to move on?
No, you're fine. Sorry.
Now, the assignment incentive, you guys had proposed having everything inclusive, so the 27% cap, your proposal was to have it inclusive of the rescue assignment pay. The way our structure right now is 27% cap, excluding the rescue assignment pay, which is 5%, which makes our cap a 32% cap as it stands right now. Our counter proposal would be to reduce that cap, make it 30%, inclusive of the rescue assignment pay, but adding new state certification incentives. So we put a list together of different state certifications. I do want to specify this isn't just taking a class and having the class certification. The individual would have to go through the state certification process, take the state test, and move forward in that manner. There's only two things right there. The drone pilot is a little bit different because it's like an FAA certification. So it's not through the Florida State Firefighter certification. So that would be a little bit different as far as the certification that they would have to have, but they would have to be certified, not just taking the class. The proposal as it stands is 1% for each certification, with the exception of the TRT level disciplines. There's five of them in total. So it would have to not be. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. The certifications for those would also be not ops level, but technician level. That includes rope tech, confined space tech, trench tech, VMR tech, and structural flat technician.
Do you have the list of employees who have those certifications?
So right now, as far as people who hold these certifications, we only have three people assigned to SWAT. We have six safety officers, just for clarification as well. The Florida State Safety Officer is inclusive of two different certifications, is the Florida Health and Safety Officer, as well as the Incident Safety Officer. So those would be two different certifications combined in one. So it wouldn't be each individual certification. FLUSAR Rescue Specialist, we have 11 people that have all five disciplines. LFTI is 15 people, Pump Operator 17, Fire Officer 13, Fire Instructor 24, Fire Inspector 33.
So you have the list of those people, so Jonathan could cross out the 1%.
Well, so can I ask a clarifying? I want to a clarifying question.
Absolutely.
So these are certifications, and these are then. So you said live fire training. So if I have a live fire training instructor certification, mm-hmm. am I continuously working as a live fire training instructor, or are there people? If I could have this and not be working in that space, would I still, under your proposal, would I still qualify for the pay, even though I have it? We're not working in that, but I'm still qualified for the pay.
Correct. So an LFTI, a live fire training instructor, right now, one of the things that we have an issue with is actually performing our live fire training. So, we can't do live burns without a specific number of people, and I'm sure somebody in the training division could also speak to that. You're actually pretty tied in the training as well. So we can't actually perform some of our training that we need to do without those individuals on site.
If fire needed 10 total people to do that,
correct.
But all 240 some odd folks got that certification and they were under that cap, they would all be eligible under this proposal for that 1%.
If all 240, yes.
Anybody, yes. even if we only needed 10 and we got to a maximum of 10, if everyone went on and got this certification, whether they're working in that discipline or not, mm-hmm. they would be eligible so long as they are under the cap.
Yes. It creates a more well-rounded workforce. It creates a workforce that has technical skills. It's pretty much everything that has been proposed to us from the administrative side, saying that these are things that we wish to explore in our professional development article. It was all basically everything that was put forward to us as things of importance for our membership. So those were the ones that we specifically honed in on.
So, okay. And if I could just add on to that, because just kind of maybe provide some clarification to what you're asking about operating in that capacity. It's definitely a job-related skill or class that you would take. I would definitely recommend for any fire officer to be a fire instructor, because it just teaches you about fire behavior and how to run those kinds of scenes. So it definitely enhances our ability to do our job as officers. So to say they're not going to be utilizing that is probably not the most accurate way to phrase that, because when we do our job, it does those skills, those trainings, that education does help us provide the service that we do for our career.
Understood. But there are plenty of job classifications across other places and other unions that also take classes and get certifications and do things that are part of the job there. And this is that, and so I'm just trying to understand that. I'm not sure I understood, because what you created here, that's why I asked about the short structure there. I get that it could be helpful to someone out there. The fire, I don't know that the fire department needs, I'm not an expert here, but that's a lot of people, and there's now an incentive here, because a lot of people are under that cap. You're creating incentives, and we also have a place where people, where we also pay for some of these certifications. So I'm just trying to make sure that I understand. You're asking from a costing perspective. You've created a place where 200 and some odd folks are potentially eligible for this, whether they're acting in that, in some of these. I don't try to learn about these. Mm-hmm. I see live fire instructor training instructor. Mm-hmm. You have that skill and expertise, but if you're not the training instructor, that's my that's what I'm trying to clarify about the certification.
So what I was trying to get to, as far as the application of that particular cert in that capacity, in addition to the education that it helps us provide our job, when we're doing live fire training, the state requires you have to have so many instructors. So you would, even though you might need 10 to do one scenario, not all 10 people are going to be available on duty. So the more people you have a larger pool of people so you can do these drills. It makes it more feasible to do that as well. And again, so every position, you have to have an instructor in those positions in order to run those evolutions. So those are state requirements. Again, that's why we're having such a hard time running these kind of drills, because again, you require so many people to do that.
What about foreign language?
So this is actually very common, and it was very prevalent, specifically also in Miami-Dade County. It is in different contracts. The fact is that we do live in an extremely diverse community, and we utilize foreign languages quite a bit. And I will tell you, if I'm on a truck with somebody who's not a Spanish speaker, I do not speak Spanish. And when we run emergency calls, when minutes count, we're trying to take out a phone and do Google Translate and stuff like that, it is not conducive to creating good patient care. So there are a lot of contracts within the fire department that give a foreign language incentive. It would have to be a specific testing program. I can't, take my Rosetta Stone and say, hey, I know how to speak Spanish. You have to go through a testing process to ensure that you are fluent in that
like
language.
An interpreter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not something new. It's something that's in multiple contracts, and it would have to be basically figure out the actual testing process of how that person is now certified to the level that HR or the city would deem fit. Obviously, memorializing a lateral move from shift to non-shift. That would be 6.5 that was added in there. Article 10, unused sick leave. We want to look at costing out the maximum limits for voluntary and involuntary, moving to 80% to 100% over 20 years, as well as increasing 80 to 100 for work-related disabilities under and over 20 years.
Scroll down.
Article... Article 18, this is just altering what was, this is a counter proposal to what was put in there. You guys proposed that during a hurricane that members' annual leave, they may be required by the fire chief to make themselves available for emergency callback. I'd like to change that language to a declared state of emergency. And obviously keep the fact that the fire chief has sole discretion and authority to approve exceptions. With that, it's also a very common practice amongst other CBAs of our comparable municipalities that members who physically work a declared emergency period shall be paid time and a half in addition to their normal rate of pay for every hour worked during the declared emergency period, as long as the following conditions have been met. And that would be that the city has declared a state of emergency and that the city has also activated the EOC. The second part of the proposal is in recognition of House Bill 929. I've been told I'm very consistent with how much of a pain in the butt I am. I'm trying to use nicer terms, but in recognition of House Bill 929, which establishes legislative intent recommending a 42-hour work week for firefighters, the parties agree that Article 18, hours of work, may be reopened for negotiations if four or more fire departments within Broward County adopt a 42-hour work week. It's intended to ensure that the city remains competitive with surrounding agencies in the recruitment and retention of qualified personnel. I know what I've said, that's a big issue, but I know that we also have had to shift. I voiced my concern about moving away from the work week, and I want to be able to make sure that we remain competitive within our workforce if this shift continues to move forward. And it would be specific to that article. For Article 21, vacancies, a vacancy shall be defined as, sorry, did you guys have any questions on that?
No? Just go down.
Scroll down.
I just wanted to point out for the record that
yes.
You now are reopening two articles that we TA'd at the last meeting. And that's, I think I haven't even gone through the rest of that, which is Article, just for the record,
okay.
Article 10 and Article 21 were TA'd at the last meeting.
Vacancies for Article 21, vacancies. A vacancy shall be defined as any position within the bargaining unit that is unoccupied as a result of resignation, retirement, termination, promotion, transfer, or creation of a new position. For the purpose of this article, the parties agree that when bargaining unit is transferred into a non-shift status assignment, such transfer shall constitute a vacancy in the member's former shift assignment. Such vacancies will be backfilled in accordance with 2.1 to maintain minimum staffing and operational efficiency. So that would be the remaining part of the contract above that, which is the 30 days to fill a vacant position. Article 28 was the pension plan. The items that we have had the actuary go through was an increase of the benefit accrual rate for tier one and tier two, 3.4%. Currently it's a 3.3 and 3.2 respectively. Increasing the 3-year AFC for tier two, currently at 5 years. Normal retirement of 22 years of service, regardless of age, that's for both tier one and tier two. Currently listed at 23 years of service, and including a 2% increase of member contribution for tier one and tier two. The Article 31 is the health and wellness plan. It's the post-employment health care plan option to introduce at the 25-40-50 structure. The tuition reimbursement, we're good with the language changes, but we are also proposing that members are eligible to be reimbursed for non-mandatory job-related coursework, as well as being eligible to use those funds for required promotional books and printing. I know that was a discussion of topic of trying to reduce the amount of printing that the city needs to do, so we'd like their members to be able to utilize, as long as they're signed up for the test and on the list, to be able to utilize those funds for their books and printing. 48, we want to revise the 1 year. The city's proposal was 1 year across the board for the recruits, as well as promotions. We'd like to keep our promotional structure the same way. So the standard probationary period would be 1 year from the completion of the recruit training program or 6 months from the date of promotion. And the same language that was proposed by the city, date of the fire chief extends the probation not to exceed 6 months due to exceptional circumstances. The last part of this would be the appendix and the pay tables or longevity pay adjustments that are requested to be costed out. The ability to combine years 14 and 18 longevity raises to top out at year 13, which would accelerate the top out by 5 years. So we tried as much as possible. I know that you guys kind of had the sentiment of trying to standardize everything and kind of go along the same formula as other bargaining units. That's why we pivoted, and we're following the structure that you guys have requested and are looking at those specific items. So those would be the big items, and then the rest of the remainder is cleanup language that we wanted to throw out there. Did you need a caucus, or did you have any?
Yeah, just had a, well, and there's actually now a third article that we have TA that is now going to be open. That's Article 48. No, not sorry. I think it's not 48. It was Article 42. So we went over, obviously, more. First of all, thank you. Yes. We went over several of the other articles. Are you, if there's no comment on these, are you saying you are good with the rest of the articles that you have not brought in this proposal?
No, I have rebuttals to all of the other cleanup language. I just wanted to make sure.
These are just your big ass.
These are everything else is cleanup language, basically non-monetary items.
Okay. Unless anyone has any clarifying questions, we'll take a caucus and then we'll come back and discuss further.
All right.